Well, let's give our senior pastor a really good welcome this morning, Pastor Stephen of the Guernsey.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Please put your hands together for Hannah. That was fantastic. Well done. But I really enjoyed the worship this morning. You know, worship team, you did an amazing job. You know, I just think that to allow the presence of God to percolate in this place, you know, is a great thing. And that's what, it's nice to feel the presence of God, you know. And so we appreciate you coming early and practicing, and we pray that that continues on. And so I want to thank, you know, all of you. You know, I want to thank, the Lord. You know, we take this assignment, being, the senior pastors of C3 Fremantle and Wellard. We thank you for the privilege, you know, and it's something that, as the days have gone since Sunday last week, has weighed on me, not in that kind of, I feel kind of weak way, but in that way of, wow, Lord, you know, I think it's a great thing, you know, and we're going to together, as I said on Sunday, you know, we appreciate what Pastor Nigel and Andrea did, you know, laying the foundation for what God is going to continue to do. And I certainly and I honestly believe that we are all on a prophetic journey, that it is about all of us together, you know, about C3 Fremantle. It's about you as an individual. It's about your families and what God wants to do through all of us. Amen. So today the message is, the title is On Assignment. On Assignment. And in thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, is that he was a guy at 30 years old, he began his ministry. And you know that when you have a set amount of time to live, when you know that you have a set amount of time to live, it's going to cause you to live differently. It's going to cause you to relate differently to people. It's going to cause you to take the fluff out of your life and just to focus on those things that are important. And so, being on assignment, Jesus, recognizing that he had a short time to live, everything that he did deliberately. And it wasn't just every conversation that he had, every miracle that he did, every encounter that he had was for a specific reason. If he walked, back in those days, they did lots of walking. If they walked many miles, if they rode, if they went by boat, you know, it wasn't all just because it was a good thing to do. It was all things that were on purpose and on assignment. And this morning, this is why we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was on assignment. And so we just, if I move to the scriptures here, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 39, it says that as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was great calm. And the disciples, they were just like, they were blown away. Like, who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? And if you fast forward to chapter 5, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves, cemetery, we just call that cemetery, and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And then, "In the name of God," this is the man speaking, "I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the hill, steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. An amazing scene where this man was many, we don't know who this man was. He didn't give us a name. He didn't identify, you know, what were the other characteristics in his life that caused him to get to a point where he was. And I can only imagine, you know, I can only imagine what it would have been like for this guy, ostracized, because we know that the cemetery is only for people that are dead. Now, if you can imagine, if you saw me at the cemetery chilling there every day, you'd be wondering, what the heck is wrong with this man? Because there's a reason why we leave dead people there, you know? And then we, because life is for the living. But now this man is found in this place where he feels more comfortable to be at the cemetery, where society has said to this man, "It's no good for you to hang around with us. It's actually better for you to go out and chill at the cemetery." Filled with many demons. You know, they say that a Roman legion could be between 5,000 and 6,000 men. And so he had not just one, he had 6,000 demons all controlling his life. You know, and sometimes I wonder that, how did he get to this place where, what was his life like before he got to the cemetery? Did he have a family? Did he have a job? You know, was it that, you know, he invited something into his life that caused an entranceway for all these things to happen to him? And so, but what we do know is that society had said, "You're not good for us." And they tried everything that they could to restrain him, but he was just way too strong, because the demons are the ones that gave him the power to be able to break chains. For those that wear jewelry, you know that unless it's a very flimsy jewelry, you know, when it's a chain link, a necklace, to break that is not an easy feat. So you can imagine proper chains where they shackle somebody, but he was strong enough to be able to break those things apart. And so society said, "Look, you're not good for us here." His family said, "Look, it's better for you if you stay away from us." And constantly cutting himself, because the pressure that this man would have felt with 6,000 demons within him, all of that suggests to me that this was a way of him trying to relieve the pressure that he was feeling. The questions that he was asking himself: why did I do what I did to get myself into this position? You can imagine the regret that he faced, you know, that every day, the torment, the internal torment that he would go through by himself, wondering, when is all this going to end? When is all this going to end for me? You know? You see, in 2009, I think I've spoken about this story before, we went for a dating scan for one of our kids. And it was, you know, you're happy, your wife is pregnant, great. And so we go to the dating scan, left work early. It was at 2 o'clock in Alice Springs. We get to the Alice Springs Hospital. They put us into the radiologist's room where they do the scans, and they scan up. And the lady, you know, all our other kids, I've been to all the scans for all my kids, and I was like, it was all normal. But this time, the radiologist went out. And immediately in my mind, I said, why did she go out? Now, she went out maybe once or twice to confer with her colleague. So in my mind, I think, oh, something is not right here. You know, and so they came back, and the lady began to tell that your child has got a condition called, it's an umphalocele, and what that is that the intestines of the child are outside the body. And I thought to myself, you know, so now I'm asking for more information, because when it gets to crisis, I then switch into gear now. So I started rattling off the questions, and the lady said, sorry, I can't answer your questions. These have to be reviewed by somebody else. You'll have to go and see your doctor on Monday. All of a sudden, what we thought when things were going right, our world is now in turmoil. And I don't know whether you have ever faced a situation where your day is going quite okay. But then all of a sudden, things turn. And sometimes when things turn, they turn very quickly. And we have this description in the Bible where in chapter 4, verse 35 to 39, it basically says that they had come, you know, from doing what they were doing, meeting with the crowds. And Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And other boats were following. But then it says, suddenly, a fierce storm arose. And it's only when you're on the way, when you think that you're in the direction that the Lord wants you to go, that storms will come your way. And I wonder, what is our reaction when storms come our way? Because definitely, even if you're young and even if you're old, the storms are coming. But the good thing, you see, we hear from this is that the disciples were now exasperated. They were panicking and they were scared. And they said, Lord, don't you care that we are soon about to perish? And so Jesus got out of his sleep, and then he rebuked the winds and the waves. And then he said that, peace, be still. And immediately it says that there was calm that was brought to that situation. This tells me that even, you know, that Jesus is the Lord over our storm. That no matter what comes our way, Jesus is the one that comes and provides. Lord over our storm is that the words that he can speak, one word, or a few words in this instance, and in speaking those words, it will quiet the storms in our life. And even though we are tormented, you know, just like this man was, he was tormented by these evil spirits and these demons. Jesus encountered the storm, confronted the storm so that he could get to that man. And like I said earlier, is that because Jesus was on assignment, he would not let the storm, the literal storm, get in the way of what it is that he wanted to do. And this is what God will do. This is the love that he has for us, that he will come through whatever he needs to come through to make sure that he's going to bring the peace that you need in your life. You know, and sometimes peace does not mean that the storm is over, but peace is the recognition that in the storm, the Lord is with me. Because what happened is that when we went to see the GPs, and I mean, they kept telling us, rightfully so, with the evidence that was in front of them, your child is going to have all these abnormalities, and it's important that you may want to consider having an abortion. Now, they were just stating the facts, you know. I wasn't necessarily mad at them for stating what was in their minds. They're thinking for a youngish type couple, you know, having a child with all these things might be an issue. But the key thing you see is that one of my wife's cousin, her husband, then called me and he said to me, my friend, it is now your duty that you are going to be praying over your wife every day. You're going to be praying for that child every day whilst it's in its mother's womb. And I remember I would be holding the stomach and I'm praying that, you know, everything fits together well and all that. And one day, I got to a point where I went outside in Alice Springs and it was dark, nice and dark, pitch black evening, where you could see the stars. And I remember, I can't recall the song. It was a Hillsong, because we used to go to an AOG church then, so they used to play lots of Hillsong. And so it was a song that I got to a point where I said, you know what? Baby with abnormalities, baby with no abnormalities. It is not going to really matter to me. Where I said, I am not going to stop worshiping you. I am not going to stop believing in you, regardless of what the outcome is. And this is where we are saying to ourselves that, Lord, you are Lord over the storm. You will bring peace into my life. And sometimes peace does not mean that the issue goes away. But it was just a realization in that moment for me that, God, you will give me the grace that I need to be able to deal with this issue. If we're going to have to deal with a child with all these things that they're saying, then somehow you are going to have to equip me to be able to deal with this. And I don't know, none of us here, you know, are demon-possessed, I wouldn't think. You know, we're all good. But there are torments, and there are things that really shackle us and hold us down, where we can feel like what this man felt. You know, we feel the same things that, you know, we might be not literally cutting ourselves like he would. You know, he cut himself, but we do that in our minds. We cut ourselves in our minds. We make sure that we are having a tough, the conversations that we have with ourselves are not healthy conversations. They're conversations where there's lots of condemnation, there's lots of regret, there's lots of shame in our life. But Jesus wants to bring the peace in your life. And one thing we know that, you see, our trouble, all the torment that we feel, all the difficulties that we face, these places where we feel like this man felt that the tomb was a place where he could not, he lived there. His identity was, everybody knew, oh, that's the madman that stays by the cemetery. He adopted a new identity. And the interesting thing, as you read forward in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, it talks about when the pigs, the demons went into the pigs and went over the hill, that when the town folk came to see the commotion, what was going on, they found that same man in his right mind. All of a sudden, Jesus came and began to restore his identity. Jesus came and began to restore the peace in his life, and all the regret that he had was washed away in the moment that Jesus said to those demons, get out of him and go into the pigs. So here's the man who was ostracized, you know, a man that was broken. He was a prisoner. You know that you don't have to be in prison to be in prison. You can be free, but actually be in prison. You're free, you're roaming, you've got no restrictions, but internally, you are in absolute jail. You're locked up on the inside, you have no freedom. There's things that are holding you back. And from this story, we recognize that God wants to take us from the place that we are, the place of torment, the place of regret, the place of failure, the place where, you see, this man might have, for us, for some of us, we are in a position where we are in our lives because it's either we introduced things into our own life that have created some big trouble for us, or somebody else introduced us to something that has caused our lives to be on hold for a while. And so all of a sudden there's the shame that is attached to, why am I in this position? But those places, you know, of torment, that graveyard now becomes a showcase of God's omnipotent grace. Because when you begin to see that here was a man that all of a sudden all he could think about. His whole existence was in a place where there was dead things. But Christ came and restored him, gave him a new identity. And so now all those places we are introduced. So here I say, Jesus demonstrates his authority. We see a different man. Here we're introduced to God's grace in the form of restoration. You know? After his encounter with Jesus, he was in his right mind. He was no longer out of control. He was no longer comfortable living with among the dead. You know? Jesus is going to bring dignity and peace in your life. You know? We can see from the life of this man, you get victory and a new identity in the area of your struggle. And I'll just get the team to come back up as we sort of like wrap this up. That those places where you regret, you know that there's sometimes where you've allowed certain things to come into your life and it creates this huge regret, you know, and this shame that comes upon you. But all these places that we feel are places of failure become showcases of God's omnipotent grace. And you know, when we talked about Jesus was on assignment, is that Jesus walked through this, he came through the storm so that he could get to this man. Because as the story goes, the town people were really ticked off that Jesus had come, because whoever was running a pig business was now 2,000 pigs short, you know. And so they were probably like, you know what, you better get out of here before we lose more money. Now, do you think that Jesus in all his power and his authority could have just, you know, needed to listen to them? No. It seems as if he was scared of the crowd. I don't think he was scared. He got back in the boat. Because if you start reading in Mark chapter 5, verse probably 40, he has an encounter with Jairus on the other side of the lake. They went back. They had an encounter with Jairus. And Jairus was a teacher, and he came to the Lord and said, Lord, my child is sick. Could you please come and heal them? So now Jesus came on assignment to restore this man and went back across the lake to meet up with Jairus. But also whilst he sort of like says to Jairus, no problem, we're coming to your house, he encounters the woman with the issue of blood, you know? And so we know that this man never did anything unless it was definitely on assignment. So he goes back to help Jairus. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. But also the woman who had the issue of blood, where she spent all that she could. And in spending all that she could, all that she had, and being promised by many people that you're going to be healed, you're going to be this new potion, I got this potion here, it deals with your issue, you're going to be set free. And it never happened. But then she heard of Jesus. And so now whilst Jesus is back, seemingly on the way to Jairus's house, she then says to herself, you know what, this is my only chance. If only I could touch the hem of his garment, then I would be set free. So Jesus does things on assignment. He doesn't do things just because it's a cool thing to do. He does it for a specific purpose. His last encounter with this man that is now in his right mind, this man says, Lord, without you, my life was an absolute mess. Lord, society ostracized me, so I'm ready to leave with you and go wherever you're going. Wouldn't that be, you know, he knew that same society is the one that rejected him, but this man came, and when Jesus came, he would go with the Lord. And it is interesting that the Lord's words to him were that, no, you're not going to go with me. Go and tell your family what the Lord has done for you. And so this is for all of us, that, you know, in the assignment that We are healed. We are set free. We are restored. We are forgiven. Yet at the same time, the only responsibility that the Lord places on us, He then puts us on assignment. Just the way that He's on assignment, you have an assignment. You know, ours is really quite simple. Our assignment is to go, return home, and declare how much God has done for you. So you can see the only expectation that the Lord had for him was go back and tell everybody about what God has done for you. Don't go back and try hocus pocus, abracadabra. You know, it's more about, Lord, this is what you did in my life. And so the only thing that I'm explaining to my friends is that, you know what the Lord did for me? This is what the expectation of the Lord is, that each and every one of us here has been given an assignment. You see, this man had no voice. He was possessed by somebody else. He was being controlled by demons. So he would have lost his voice and his ability to speak for himself. But the Lord gave him back all that. So just as his story counts for something, your story counts for something as well. How is the sound of your voice in your community? Is it a cry in the hills day and night, like that man was in the tombs? Or is it connected to what the Lord has done in your life to set you free from bondage? Christ came in love. He came through a storm. And I just want us to grasp this, that all of this speaks to the love that the Lord has for us. That He would not let anything get in the way of seeing you free. Because the whole goal of Christ coming to see that man was to set him free. And so that he could live his best life. And he then says at the end of Mark chapter 5, not at the end, at the end of that story, of that encounter, is that this man went back to the Decapolis, which is the 10 cities around the Gadarenes, telling people about what the Lord had done for him. And the scriptures say that when the people heard, they were amazed at what the Lord did. And that is it. You know, the things that God does in your life sets you free is so that other people would be amazed. Because dare I say, there are a lot of tomb people out there. There are a lot of people that are caught up in the tombs, that their life is literally on hold. They've got things that are tormenting them. And the power that you've been given is that ability to go and to speak your story in the power of Jesus' name. And so my prayer focus this morning is that the evangelist in you will start telling your story to those around you. You see, your voice has been silenced by the battle you've had to fight. And it's now time to take back your voice, you know. Just having an understanding and acceptance of the undeserved love of God in all of your experiences. Father, I thank you as we stand this morning, church, that, you know, Jesus was on assignment and he came for a specific purpose. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, chapter 3, verse 8, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. That is the reason Christ came, was to destroy the works of the devil in this man's life. And that is God's desire, that he would destroy those things that are holding you back from living in the fullness of what God has called you to live in. And so I ask this morning is that if there's anybody that needs prayer where you feel that there's just things that have held you back, we're just going to, our prayer team is going to come around you, and we're just going to believe as the band begins to sing, Arise With You in the Wake of the Morning. Is that okay? Thank you. You know, and as they begin to sing, Steve, can you take this away? Thanks. As they begin to sing, I'm going to ask if you want prayer that you would come to the front. And we're not going to hold you back longer. As they begin to sing, I'm just going to pray this. Father, I thank you this morning for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for the destiny, Lord God, that you have for each man, each woman, each boy and each girl. I thank you for the destiny of each family, Lord God. I thank you that you have called each and every one of us. That, Father, you have given us an assignment, Lord Jesus. That we would have the courage, Lord God, that each and every one of us, I prophesy courage into people's hearts. That they would be able to go, Father, and just begin to declare the wonderful things that you have done for them, Lord Jesus. That the freedom that you have given them, they would declare that so that other people would receive your freedom. I thank you, Lord God, for the destiny of C3 Fremantle and its people, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you are for us, Lord God, and not against us. I thank you, Lord God, that, Father, through this church, Father, C3 Fremantle, many would come to know you, Lord God, through the people that we have in this place. Father, we thank you. I pray for courage, Lord God, that people would be strong enough, Lord God, would be bold enough, Lord God, to take the word of God that is within their lives, Father. That, Father, you would arrest them, Father, with the responsibility of proclaiming the goodness of God in their lives, Father. That, Lord God, they, Lord God, would have just an understanding of how much you love them, Lord God, of how much, Lord God, you will move heaven and earth to see them set free. Father, I pray that you would bless your people this morning. And church, as the band begins to sing, we're just going to open this up for prayer. If you need prayer this morning, this is not the day to be going away knowing that you got some stuff that you want the Lord to help you with. This is the day to be coming to the front. And we're just going to believe as we pray that God is just going to bring peace and relief in your life in those areas that you need it the most. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. So we'll pray and then Caroline will dismiss us. So if you need prayer, please come to the front.